Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. With me in the studio today again, Cherie Shank. Welcome back.
Thank you, Larry. It's so interesting to be on this side of the podcast, Mike, but thank you for having me.
You've got the Lisa and Cherie podcast week after week. And again, check out the show notes, everybody. Great podcast. We are talking about leadership. Of course, Cherie and Merle Shank serve here right now in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. He's pastoring not a local church, but the international director designate for Dove International, taking my place and Laverne's place coming up here real soon. Looking forward to that. So let's get started. You had so many great insights last time. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Do my best.
Here's a question a lot of people ask. People ask Laverne and I this question. And I'm sure this. I know it applies to you. How do you navigate team leadership since you and your husband, Merle, are both anointed leaders? You're both called by God, clearly anointed by God. How do you navigate that? What's that look like?
Yeah, that's you're right. We do get this question a lot. And it took me a little while to kind of dissect that. But I want to start out by answering that with a story,
okay,
if that's okay.
Sure.
So there was, I forget what year it was, but you and Laverne came to Cape Town. Mm-hmm. And we had planned this like powerful conference. We were going to advance the kingdom. We were so excited. Everybody was mobilized. And we had an amazing time with you guys. And you both came and ministered. We did stuff for leaders and we did stuff for our community church.
It was fun. I remember well.
It was so fun. So when you left, we gathered all of our leaders together. And we were like, so tell us, you know, what was your big takeaways from the event? And the answers that we got stunned us. They were like, we just could not believe how like they spoke together and like they ministered together. And like Larry gave Laverne time to share and they spoke and ministered together. And then she gave him time to share. We've just never seen anything like that. And then they were like, yeah, and the values of Dove, it's really not just like Merle and Cherie, who are servant leaders, but like they were helping clean up and do all the things and wash the dishes. And we can't believe that that's what it was like over and over and over again. And we were like, really? Like out of this huge conference, like that was your takeaway? But I think the earth is hungry for a model of honor.
Right.
Especially in a husband-wife ministry, but there's also like women who have callings on their life who need people around them push them and help them to be developed into who they're called to be. So I think when you ask this question, you're really tapping into a hunger for the body of Christ to work together in a different way.
That's right.
And how can you do that? And what can that look like? And how can we have more of that? And I think in the absence of models, people like need clear instruction, they need clear teaching, and they need clear models. So we were just traveling to a number of regionals, in the States and overseas, and one of the common threads that came up, in fact, it was almost word for word the same. People would come up to me and they were like, we loved that you shared. We loved that you like stood and ministered. And your husband, he stood beside you and he just is beaming and he's just like so happy.
I saw it happen.
And
it was wonderful.
It was like, oh, that, you know, as a speaker, you want to know like, oh, what stood out to you? Like, was it powerful? None of that mattered. What mattered to them was seeing the honor between Merle and I.
Correct.
And how we work. And so if I would answer this question, I would start out with 1 Corinthians 12:4. And it says, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And it goes on to talk about that. And I think if I could answer that question for Merle and I, is that he has always encouraged me to be who I'm called to be, right. and not spoken for me, but had mm-hmm. me share what I have.
Right, right.
And I've done the same for him. And I'm like, hun, you have the anointing in this moment. I'm going to submit to the grace of God in your life, and I'm going to get behind that vision. And there's times he's done that for me.
Sure.
And that picture of honoring our unique voice and gifts in one another. And I think there is this, in some circles, not all circles, there is some circles where it's like the women just will be quiet mm-hmm. and the husband will just be the one who's supposed to speak. And I think he's really modeled that, like, no, you show up. Right. And this is how we were trained. You show up to the table. Mm-hmm. You show up having, what do you discern that God is doing? What is the voice of the Lord speaking? And he draws that out of people. Yeah. And our whole training in ministry was that.
Right.
And no one said you shouldn't do that. I think my first like 15 to 18 years, like that's just how we were trained. So sure. this whole issue of like, how do you explain this with men and women is really something I've only encountered probably in the last 6 or 7 years.
Interesting.
But I feel like it's that place of honoring one another and cherishing the way God speaks to mm-hmm. others. And we understand that. We understand it's like, oh, we need the eye, we need the hand. We right, all right. use that language. But in a team setting, I don't want a team where everybody looks like me.
Right.
I won't make good leadership decisions. Right. Having different perspectives will help us hear the wisdom of God and being able to pull that out. So we need to create cultures where there's space for that mm-hmm. and be secure in our own identity. Mm-hmm. If I was insecure in how I heard God, or if Merle was insecure in how he heard God, we would feel threatened or like it's a competition.
Right.
And because of that, I can honor when he has clear leadership, and he honors when I have a clear word of the Lord. And it's like, sometimes he's like, babe, I don't feel that, but I have enough track record with the prophetic in you that if you feel called to that, I'm going to get behind it.
Right.
And he's done that for me, and right. I've done that for him.
Right. So it's really back to the culture of honor.
It is.
I really, really, really affirm. What are some key issues that you find leaders facing today, Sheree?
Oh, man, that's a big question, Larry.
I know it is.
So one of the things that made the biggest impression on me when I first came to a international leadership conference mm-hmm. with Dove. So Merle had been coming for years,
right,
and
right.
I always was staying home with the kids in right. South Africa. And the first time I came, it was such a powerful ministry time, but also just emotional time of connection. Mm-hmm. Because what happened is we all have shared values,
right.
different expressions.
Right.
You know, there's house churches, community churches. There's people who are doing ministry in the poorest of the poor. There's
right.
people who have ministry with really affluent, mm-hmm. educated people in their church. But we would sit around these tables, and immediately my heart would just be torn because I'd be talking to someone like in another nation and the things that they were dealing with. And I would be like, I get it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I get what you're mm-hmm. dealing with. I get what that warfare is like. I get what that leadership decision, that pastoral
right.
decision feels like. I understand that. And that sense of understanding.
Yes.
And it's so rare. I mean, I've been to other conferences. You do not feel that sense of family. And so I think as a leader, you feel isolated already because people can treat you differently mm-hmm. sometimes. And they shouldn't, but that's just how
right,
it happens,
right,
unfortunately.
Right.
So one of the key issues is isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found the Dove family to have really been a place that breaks isolation mm-hmm. and brings people into a place where, like, you do not have to do it alone. Loneliness is a lie.
It is. It
like,
is.
There is a sense yeah. of community that God, of provision that God has as for you. You might have to pursue it. It takes a lot. I think every year we've been, when we tried to travel, we never had the money to do it. It was always like, well, you know, maybe you can work while you're there, or maybe you can do, see how God
right,
will provide.
Right.
So it takes faith and
right.
risk, but just investing in the body of Christ
yeah.
is a huge thing. You don't have to do it alone. I think another one is just being convicted that the place you are is where God has called you
That's
to
good.
Thrive.
That's really good.
I think the grass looks greener
oh,
somewhere
yeah,
else
doesn't.
All the time. And people are like, oh, but that ministry is so cool, and that
yeah.
ministry is so cool. And I think we've had enough. Merle and I have had the privilege and blessing of working with so many different mm-hmm. organizations. I mean, Cape Town is a hub
right.
for missions
right.
and seeing different models. And just knowing, you know, if God has told you this is where you to connect, it's not always sunshine and roses wherever
right.
you are.
Right.
And the grass is going to look greener wherever you are. But for you to be successful, And I'm also speaking to women who feel like, oh, is there room for me here? You know, or leaders who are like, will I be empowered here? I think the first step to success is be convicted that the place where you are, he's calling you to thrive there.
Yep.
And that means you might have to grow. You might have to work out your communication skills. You might have to upskill your tools in your tool belt.
Right.
But starting there. And then, I have a lot in this list.
Go ahead,
is that okay?
This is so good.
So I have another one. And this one I borrowed from Steve Backlund. And he's actually speaking at our International Leadership Conference. But he said, there's a cycle in relationships of excitement, disappointment. And then you either can out of that pursue distance or you can pursue growth. And I was like, what a clear way of putting that. You know, whether you're on a team, you can be so excited with your leader. And then you might see something and you'll be like, oh, I could be really disappointed in them right now, or they let me down. And that moment, you either have the opportunity to be like, what's my strategy to manage disappointment?
Yeah.
I'm responsible to be like, you know what? God can work in the midst of imperfect people.
Correct.
We are all human. None of us are perfect.
That's so true.
So like, I think a lot of leaders go through, like, what is your strategy for when you hit that disappointment section, that you're going to have a place of faith in believing that God called you here.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to quit because you saw something.
Right.
And like, I can be successful and thrive in this place. Now, I'm not talking about like gross sin and abuse, obviously.
I'm just talking about in
every organization, there's imperfect people.
There is.
And you'll always have a reason to be like, oh, I want to jump ship. And these are just things that have impacted my life. And my last point for this is, it does seem faster to do things alone.
It does. There's that temptation.
Yeah. But if you can do it with a team, you can bring people on your vision, if you can, and this is at any level, like I'll just share an example about this. God has just been laying on my heart to prophesy out of Psalm 149, like for the last month as I go into Newport. I'm prophesying the high praises of God, like he's gonna execute like his judgments on our behalf. And I'm like, Lord, why are you bringing this to me? So everywhere I'm going, I'm just like, that anointing comes back. And I'm like, guys, this is what I'm feeling, you know. And I did it. I had some powerful encounters in different meetings I had where I shared that. And I went home and I was like to my kids, this is what God's saying. This is what happened today. There's just this move of the Lord. And one of my kids was like, Mom, I need to talk to you when all the kids go to bed. And she's like, that verse that you shared, that's who I'm called to be in Christ.
Wow.
And she just starts to like unpack like a prophetic journey that I had no idea was going on in her life for like the last 6-8 years. I could not have shared that with her.
Mm-hmm.
I could have been like, oh, that was just for me when I intercede. It wasn't for, you know, that team meeting for a regional revival. It wasn't for my small group.
Right.
It wasn't for my kids. It's easier to go alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like a very low level example. Right. It takes more work to say, I'm going to be intentional, build a relationship with you, take you on in the vision, take you on in the journey, and let you contribute to it and make it better.
Yeah.
And a lot of young leaders really feel like, yeah, but it'll be right if I do it myself, or it'll be easier if I just do it myself, it'll be done right. But, I mean, you could probably talk into this.
Right.
You are – I'm going to probably learn this from you and Laverne, because you guys do teams with everything that
we
do.
We do. I don't do anything without a team.
In fact,
any vision God has given me for many, many years, until God provides a team, I simply won't move ahead. Unless there's a clear word from God, obviously.
Yeah.
But because, I mean, that's what Jesus did. That's what Paul did. It's all about teams.
Yeah.
And it's getting by and bringing people with us, obviously. Yeah. And then soon releasing them to give leadership. That's the way it works. And we do, but it's all about down to teamwork. You're right.
And as individuals, God has given you a unique perspective, and you need to be able to communicate with enthusiasm and joy and positivity and excitement and bring that peace, because someone else might need that spark to find who they are called to be. And that intercession from that word from Psalm 149 probably had nothing to do with me. It might have been for all those other people. And if I just would have been like quiet and silent, not shared it, I wouldn't have received the benefit of seeing what God did.
Yeah,
so don't do it alone.
Share it.
Be excited about it. Be passionate about it.
I've heard you say various times recently, Sheree, that you found it's really important to be with spiritually hungry people. Talk about that.
Yeah.
And even as a leader.
Yes.
Talk about that.
I have a passion about being where Jesus is moving.
Yes.
I say it's been a commitment I have made to run with the hungry. And I feel like over decades of service, you know, you're like, oh, all-night prayer meetings.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't do that anymore. That was for back in the day when God was moving. Oh, speaking in tongues, you know, long periods of speaking in tongues. That, you know, that was for back in the day when God was releasing that. You know, we don't need to do that anymore today. Going to the place where God is moving rubs off on you and stirs your faith. And I don't want to die with gas in my tank.
Right.
Right? Like, you don't know how much time you have.
Right.
And I'm like, Lord, I love you so much. I have visions that you have shown me of things that are yet to come to touch my region, to touch my family, for my church. I'm all in. And, you know, life wears on you, right? Yeah. You can get like, oh, this is just the same old thing. You know, you can get jaded. And you really have to protect yourself against passivity. You know, how did David in the Bible get in trouble? It says, like, there was a time when the kings went out to war.
That's right.
But David stayed home.
Right.
And so in my family, Merle and I will tell our kids, they're like, oh, Mom. And I'm like, everybody, we're going, you know? And they're like, oh, and then they're like, oh, yeah, that was really God. Like, they're stirred up. They're getting impartation.
Right.
You have to be willing to receive and pour out. And sometimes it might not even be the initiative that you're leading, but you're making a commitment that where God is going, you're going to run with the hungry and you're going to keep a tender heart. And I feel like I have received from the Lord over and over again his waves of his refreshing.
Yeah.
There's this lie that if we were just a healthy leader or a mature leader, you know, we wouldn't need other people.
That's such a lie.
That's such a lie.
It's a lie. Yeah.
You know, I need your grace.
Right.
I need the grace of what God's doing from other ministries. I want to bless them, but I also want to receive from what God is doing. And so I have a strong standard in my house that if I feel like there's something that's on God's doing, I want to get there.
Yeah.
And I'm taking my family with, and we're going to sit under that anointing, and we're going to receive. So make a commitment. And if you recognize that you've been kind of like leaving your first love, you know, you need to, number one, recognize that that place of complacency is talking to you. Because we don't want to be these people that are talking about the move of God that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and we don't have anything that happened.
What about today?
What about today? Mm-hmm. That fresh joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
It says, you know, with joy, I will draw waters from the wells of salvation.
Yeah.
There's out of your belly will flow rivers of living water.
I
can't just do that by myself.
Right.
Isn't it powerful that when the Holy Spirit fell, there was like a laying on of hands?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can receive the Holy Spirit by yourself.
Right.
But there's another piece that we're meant to walk in together. So run with the hungry. That's just,
awesome.
It's huge for me.
I agree completely. Let's talk about succession. How about it? Let's talk about you and Merle and looking forward to the future.
Yeah.
And of course, Merle will be the international director. You're a clear apostolic leader working with him and the team. For Dove International, Laverne and I were decreasing. So Merle and you are increasing. How's it feeling to you? We'll get real personal here.
Oh, man, Larry.
We're excited, just so you know. On our side, we are thrilled. We see God's hand on your lives, and as I've said before, traveling with Merle has been such a joy, such a blessing. And you and Laverne had a chance to be in a few of those trips. Most of them, Merle and I went on, but we just thought it is just so right. God has spoken it. It's so right. There's been a process, a long process, but I think a good process. I think looking back now, I think it's been good. Well, anything you'd want to offer to others who are looking at succession in their own areas? And you've been through various successes in your life, and I'm aware of that.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. I mean, I think Merle and I say we're really grateful for the Dove International leadership team and the succession advisory team, because we feel like this has been a really healthy process.
Good.
We feel really supported in the process. And just you guys have made it so easy. Like, you have been Merle's best champion, right? You're advocating for him.
Total advocate.
You are like, it's okay. You know, our values are not changing. Our mission is not changing, but methods can change
and should change.
And there's team space for new people to join teams and
exactly.
All the important things that need to happen to see success in the next stage.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really great. We're really grateful to you guys.
Oh,
you guys are incredible. I feel like even in any change, there's an emotional piece.
Of course.
And I think even before you like officially had spoken to Merle, like, I'm a prophetic person, and I was like, I wanted to be like one of those horses with blinders on. Like, there's all these prophetic messages, and I'm like, I'm not looking. I don't want to see them. I don't want to hear them, because there is a place of like, change is difficult,
yeah,
right? You have to face identity issues. You have to face clear communication.
Right.
You have to really recognize when God's speaking to you into, I want you to step into something. And I mean, we've done a few things, but you've done this for 40 years, you know?
It's been a while.
It's been a while. And it's hard to be like, the grace that you had to try new things and risk and grow and develop, people have to extend to us now in this new season.
I know they will.
And they will. Like, there's grace to grow and develop and try new things. And
make mistakes.
And make mistakes, because we're not perfect.
We've made lots of them, yeah.
And I love that. When I said it when we were in Barbados, I was like, to a congregation is one of the most empowering things that you can do to support the next generation is to champion them, to show, how can I care for this church? Because people all over the world are concerned, because they see that, you know, I think it's, the statistic is around 60-some% of church leaders will look at succession in the next 10 to 15 years just because of age.
Right.
And that's a huge, I don't think we even can comprehend the magnitude of that shift in business and in ministry.
Right.
And so what does it take to see the next generation thrive?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if there's takeaway number one is that you and the leadership team have really shown care and concern for the whole body, for you guys as founders and leaders, but also for Merle and I.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we could share that with any congregation around the world, change is hard. You have a part to play in the success. It requires empowering the next generation, giving them opportunities to lead. I think what's so hard is that when you've built something and it's your baby and you love it and you have this whole journey of how you've learned, then you have like this next generation that you want to like tell them all the things, right? Like, you want to protect, you know, you want to protect that.
Right.
And I think there's this place of imparting wisdom, but also like not being a restriction.
Right.
For the next generation. Right. And I've been on both sides, so I think I see how hard it is for both sides to do that. And I think the biggest thing I've seen you guys do over and over again is just to champion them, let them use their voice, let them actually lead the team, let them actually, like, we've had these Jesus Rally revivals. It's been a collaborative with many ministries, with the youth leaders. None of the senior pastors have been on the stage.
I know. I've been there many times. I've noticed that, and I think it's fantastic.
It's amazing. So here are these young 20, 30-year-old leaders just going for it in God.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's not always perfect.
Right. They're making their mistakes, and that's okay.
It's okay. And not getting bent out of shape about it. And I was like, what a model for us.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be really secure in your identity. Yeah. It's not what you do. It's who you are.
Exactly.
And I love that in your next season, and this is wording you have heard you say, like, okay, maybe the government is changing, but the anointing and the deposit and the call of God will remain.
Right.
And I think in our generation, I don't want it to be like chop and change.
Right.
Like, you're out. I did a podcast with Jessica Tate, and she was talking about a picture that she had had where they used to, I forget the name of it, it's like roller skating, some sport. And part of the move is that everybody like locks hands and they throw the leader forward to like score. And she was saying how that picture is what probably the generations will need. Not like, oh, I'm out, you're in.
Right.
But like, we are behind you.
Yes.
We're encouraging
you
and we're propelling you into your next season.
Exactly.
And that posture will make a big difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're so glad God clearly called you back from South Africa here at the right timing, and we're so blessed to walk with you through this whole journey. It's been good. I've told Merle many times, I'll continue to tell him, that Dove International does not need another Larry Kreider. They need a Merle Shank.
Yeah, because you'll still be here to be Larry Kreider.
I will be here to be Larry Kreider. And obviously, at the same time, to be the greatest cheerleader for Merle and for you and for the whole team.
Yeah.
And serve in any way we can serve. People ask me if I'm retiring. I said, not retiring. We're just changing roles. you know, we're not retiring because you don't retire from the kingdom of God. We're going, yes, we'll have more time with our family. We'll have more time with our grandkids. We'll have more time, you know, but we'll also have more time to be spiritual fathers and mothers and write more books and many of those kinds of things.
And you guys have done this. I mean, I'm now flipping the podcast mic here, but like you did this as a lead pastor.
Right, we have.
When all the churches, you did that.
We have. We turned over the whole WSA. And many of the regions of the world, I led at one time. We kept training others, releasing them, training others, releasing them. And so that's how we're able to, by God's grace, have a family of 1,100 churches in 26 countries, you know, by God's grace. So well, you and Merle have been a great blessing. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's good. Thanks for having me. It was so fun.
It was so fun having you. And again, thank you for, you know, allowing the Lord to use you. So we're so grateful for you and for Merle and for all you've done and for all God's done through you. So check out the show notes, everyone. And the show notes, you can find more about Merle and Sheree and Leeson and Sheree podcasts and many other things that they have. And again, Larry Carlin Leadership Podcast, we learn these small things, small changes we can make that make a massive difference in our lives and the lives of others. And we're so glad you're with us today. Sheree Shank, thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
And we'll see you all back here next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.